I'd like to base our thoughts this evening on one of the questions that Pontius Pilate put to our Lord as he stood before him on trial. It's interesting to go through the four gospel accounts of that trial and see the number of questions that Pilate put both to the Lord and also to the Jews. And they probably reached their climax, and Pilate's dilemma reaches a climax when, having offered the choice to the people as to whether they would have Barabbas or the King of the Jews, they made the choice, of course, of Barabbas. And in response to that, we have that question of Pilate, "What then shall I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ?" But the question I want to focus our thoughts upon tonight is one that he asked previous to that, and it's found in John's Gospel, chapter 18 and verse 38. And it's just the closing three words of that verse when Pilate says to the Saviour, "What is truth? What is truth?" I would suggest that that's a question that has been on the lips of many down through the ages. What is truth? And in our current situation with this pandemic that we've been afflicted with now for some 9 months, we understand that perhaps many people tonight are asking that question. What is truth? It has been reported, and we can thank God for the fact that during this pandemic, the sale of Bibles has increased. And that would probably give indication to the fact that there are more people asking the question, what is truth? So this evening, I want us to consider that question, and we're going to look at it in four parts. I want us to think of the God of truth. I want us to think of a man who told the truth. I want us to think of the Spirit of truth, the Word of truth, and if time permits, we'll have a little application at the end of our consideration. What is truth? You see, we find ourselves living in a time of fake news. I've got a quote here from Wikipedia that I'll read to you. And this is what it says with regard to fake news. "Fake news is a form of news consisting of deliberate disinformation or hoaxes spread via traditional news media, print, broadcast, or online social media. Up until very recently, it was a term hardly ever mentioned. But in 2016, it was named Term of the Year by the Oxford Dictionary and a year later by the Collins Dictionary. During that period, its usage had increased by 365%. It is now seen by some as one of the greatest threats to democracy, free debate, and Western culture." Fake news. Isn't it interesting how man likes to dress things up? The scripture would simply call it lies, but modern man in the 21st century calls it fake news. Interesting that the former president of America, Barack Obama, gave an interview recently, and he spoke of his concern of truth decay, not tooth decay, truth decay. And we know what's happened across the Atlantic in recent weeks with regard to the presidential election, and we see much evidence of truth decay. But praise God tonight, when we consider the question posed by Pilate, what is truth? We can come to the Word of God, and we can consider the God of truth, a man who told the truth, the Spirit of truth, and the Word of truth. And we trust in doing so, our hearts will be warmed and encouraged again this evening. We're going to spend most of our time in John's Gospel, but first of all, a verse way back in Deuteronomy, in reference to the God of truth. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 4. This is part of the Song of Moses. And in verse 4 of Deuteronomy 32, Moses says this: ascribe greatness unto our God. Mm-hmm. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity. A God of truth and without iniquity. You know, there's very little that God cannot do. But we remember that the writer of the Hebrews reminds us that one thing that God cannot do is God cannot lie. Our God is a God of truth. In contrast to all those false gods that sadly many worship in days before, the God, our God, is a God of truth. These words are echoed by Jeremiah in chapter 10 of his prophecy. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 10, he says this: but the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King, a God of truth. Doesn't it give us confidence tonight, brothers and sisters, that we have dealings with the God of truth? When we are surrounded by fake news, truth decay, lies and deception, our recourse is to the God of this book, the God of truth. Now, returning to John's gospel, we know that John, in his writings, both in his gospel and in his three epistles, has much to say with regard to the subject of truth. And of course, in that wonderful prologue that we find at the beginning of John's gospel, when John details for us the coming into the world of the Lord Jesus, we know that he makes that stupendous statement in verse 14 of this opening chapter of John's gospel. And the Word was made or became flesh and dwelt, tabernacled amongst us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Of course, just a few verses down, we could read also concerning the fact that the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. We often remark, don't we, of that perfect balance that was ever to be observed in the person of the Lord Jesus as he moved here as a man amongst men, that he was indeed full of grace and truth. Grace was never dispensed at the expense of truth, or vice versa. There was that perfect blend, as seen in that fine flower. Here was one who was full of grace and truth. Of course, as we go through the gospel and we are privileged to witness the person of the Lord Jesus moving amongst men, the conversations that he engaged in, we see him conveying truth to men. I think it's 25 times in the gospel record, we have that little phrase, that little couplet, verily, verily, or truly, truly, amen, amen. And it would just emphasize the truth that the Lord was imparting to those that he was engaging in conversation with. You remember when the teacher of Israel came to Jesus that night, he recognized that here was a man come from God, for no man could do the miracles that he was doing except God be with him. And what did the Savior say to that dear man? Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again or born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Here was a man dispensing truth to those that he came into contact with. We think of the contrast of the conversation in chapter 4. Not now the teacher of Israel, but a woman of Samaria. And again, graciously, this blessed man would engage in conversation with her, a woman that many men would not seek to be in the company of. But we think of how graciously he deals with her, how he draws the truth out of her, how he invites her to call her husband. And she would say, I have no husband. And he could say, you've answered right, for you have had five husbands, and the one who you have now is not your husband. Full of grace and truth. But when we get to John's Gospel in chapter 8, following on from one of those tremendous I am statements that again we find in John's Gospel, having said in verse 12 that he was the light of the world, and those that followed him would not walk in darkness, but would have the light of life. The Pharisees then engage in conversation with him, and really they seek to contradict what he said. We know the writer of the Hebrews speaks, don't we, of the suffering of contradiction of sinners against himself that the Savior experienced while here on earth. And it was obvious, often the religious men of the day who contradicted and challenged his teaching the most. But it's interesting to note that following on from that, the Lord Jesus speaks of three things that are true in the following verses. In verse 14, he says, though I bear record of myself, my record is true, for I know whence I come and whither I go. Verse 16, he says, and yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I'm not alone, but the Father that sent me. And again, further down in verse 24, he said, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Verse 26, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true. So there he would claim that his record is true, his judgment is true, and he that sent me, he could say, is true. But the conversation continues, and the debate, if you like, becomes more heated. So by the time we get to verse 40 of chapter 8, this is what the Savior says. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth. Isn't that a lovely statement? You know, in the following chapter, when the Lord graciously gives sight to that dear man who was born blind, when he is questioned as to how this was brought about, the blind man speaks of a man that is called Jesus. We thank God tonight for that man, don't we? We're getting to the time of year again when we remember especially the coming into the world of the Son of God. And we remember the instruction that was given to both Joseph and to Mary concerning the naming of that son that Mary was to bear. You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. But in chapter 8, it's not a man that is called Jesus, but the Lord Jesus himself refers to himself as a man that told you the truth. You know, sometimes the truth hurts, doesn't it? And it certainly pricked the hearts of those who were the hearers of the Lord Jesus on that day speaking the truth. And we see the opposition that they have against that which he was saying. Interesting to note, in this chapter, we have three fathers. We've already thought of the father that sent him, who was true. And then, of course, the Jews would claim the fact that Abraham was their father. But having told these men that they were seeking to kill him, the one who had told them the truth, he had some more truth to reveal to them. And in verse 44, he says, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of the father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and a father of it. We go back with sadness, don't we, to the beginning of our Bibles. And having read the creation account in those opening two chapters of Genesis, we have that sad account in chapter 3, when Satan, in the form of a serpent, entered that garden, deceived Eve, caused Adam to disobey the word of God, and we're still living with the consequences of it today. As the father of lies, he contradicted what God had said. God had said, in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Satan said, you shall not die, but you'll be as gods. And we're living with the consequences of that lie now today. A man that told you the truth. Earlier on again, he could speak of the truth bringing liberty. Verse 30, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to the Jews which believed, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Brothers and sisters, tonight, let us remind our hearts, as a result of God's dealings with us in grace and mercy and revealing the truth of God to us, we are the most liberated people walking the planet Earth tonight. We have liberty, not license. We are at liberty to serve that blessed one who has brought us out of the slave market of sin. If ye know the truth shall make you free. Don't you feel humbled sometimes, brothers and sisters, when you think what the Spirit of God through the Word of God has revealed to you and me? We might not have had the highest of educations. We might not have the highest intellect. But, you know, as a result of God's dealing with us in grace and mercy, we think of all the truth that has been revealed to us. We recognize there's a sovereign God in control of events even today, don't we? We recognize that we have a glorious future as a result of the person and death and work and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We enjoy the forgiveness of sins. We're in possession of eternal life. We're assured of a home in heaven. Why? Because the truth has made these things good to us. If you know the truth shall make you free. When we go to those wonderful chapters that are peculiar to this lovely Gospel of John in the upper room, again, the Lord Jesus reveals wonderful truths to his own, doesn't he? And truths that we can share in and rejoice and live in the good of even today in the 21st century in this pandemic. We remember Thomas, don't we? Dear Thomas, he comes in for a lot of criticism, doesn't he? But you know, I'm glad he asked the questions that he did. And in response to that question in John 14, where Thomas says, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And what a wonderful response. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. The God of truth, a man who told the truth. But of course, as we're in this upper room ministry, we also enjoy the truth that the Lord imparted to his own of what was going to happen in the near future. He spoke of his going away. But notice what he says in verse 16 of John 14. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." Again in chapter 16, we have more words. Notice again in verse 7, he says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." Notice his consistency, always telling the truth. "I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment." Verse 12, he says, "I have yet many things to say to you, but ye cannot hear them. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak from himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." Brothers and sisters, I don't need to remind you tonight, do I, that each born-again believer is indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. The Lord Jesus, in his love and in his grace, said to those dear men in that upper room, he says, "I won't leave you orphans. I will send the Comforter, the Spirit of truth, this one who will guide us into all truth." It's a tremendous blessing, isn't it? But also it should have an impact upon us that tonight we are indwelt by the Spirit of truth. But of course, then we would come to chapter 17 of this lovely gospel. We're privileged to listen to that prayer that the Son prayed to the Father before he went out to Calvary. And what does he say in verse 17 of John 17? "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Brothers and sisters, tonight we're privileged to hold in our hands the word of God. And it's true from beginning to end. From Genesis 1 to the closing verse of Revelation, this word of God is truth. What is truth? That was the question of Pilate in his dilemma. I believe that's been the question of many down the generations of history. What is truth? And tonight, brothers and sisters, we can rejoice that God, in his love and his grace, has revealed to us that he is the God of truth, the one true living God. We give thanks that the word became flesh and dwelt amongst men, and that blessed one was full of grace and truth. And we've considered very briefly this evening some of those gracious words that he spake, the truth that he conveyed to those who came in his hearing, the words of comfort and consolation that he would give to his own there in that upper room. He could rightly say that he was the way, the truth, and the life, that no man comes to the Father but by him. He would give that promise of the coming of the Spirit of truth, and we're indwelt by that one tonight. And we give thanks that we have in our hands the word of truth. But we're living in the 21st century. We're living in the era of fake news, of truth decay. It should impact upon us, shouldn't it? And we should make application. Just a few words from Ephesians before we close, relative to our daily living of the subject of truth. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15, the Apostle Paul says this, speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love. There's a hurting world outside us tonight. There's a confused world, an anxious world, a world that knows very little of truth. Brothers and sisters, you and I, we have the privilege and the responsibility of speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love. In verse 25 of the same chapter, the Apostle Paul, he quotes from the prophecy of Zechariah. And he says this, "Wherefore, putting away lying or falsehood, speak each man truth with his neighbor." Speak each man truth with his neighbor. You see, in the life of the Christian, there should be no room for fake news. There should be no truth decay in our life, in our witness. We should speak every man truth with his neighbor. And then, of course, as the Ephesian epistle comes to a close, Paul would encourage his readers that they were in a battle. It was a spiritual battle, but we were not without provision. And we think of that armor that he would catalogue there. And in verse 14 of Ephesians 6, he says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness." At Hellions, just recently, we've been looking at something of the life of Elijah, and we've been using it under the title Living for God in Unprecedented Times. And at the close of 1 Kings chapter 17, after the Elijah had restored to that widow woman her son, this is what she says of him in the closing verse of 1 Kings 17. She says, "Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth." Tremendous testimony, isn't it? I wonder today, as we embark on another week, as we go into a troubled world where there's so much deception, fake news, truth decay, do those we go to school with, those we're at college with, those we're at uni with, those that we work with, those that we have business with, our neighbours, can they say of you and me tonight that we're men and women of God and the word of the Lord in our mouth is truth? We thought very briefly of the God of truth, a man who spoke the truth, the spirit of truth, the word of truth. And we just trust that the word of God will be a comfort, an encouragement, and a challenge to us as we live in these unprecedented times.